Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
All right, are you ready for the word? I'm ready to bring it. I believe that God has given me a great word for today. As you know, we are commencing as of tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you bought your food for the fast? All the Daniel stuff, all the healthy stuff, no more chocolates and cookies. Yeah, sorry, Pastor Russ. I actually raided your office yesterday afternoon and took all those chocolates out. They're all in my office. Temptation is there. So if you need one, come and see me. Okay, don't tell anybody else. All right, 7 days of prayer and fasting. We start at sunset tonight. I also sent out an email yesterday or on Friday with a QR code, or the QR code is going to be on the screen, but with a link. If you didn't get that email, please make sure you scan the QR code in front of you and give your details through that. We can send you that QR code, send you that email, because on there is a link to our devotional. As a church across Pneuma, all the campuses, right across everywhere, even Singapore, Bangkok, everywhere. We are fasting and praying for the next 7 days together. Pastor Wayne has called us to pray and fasting. Who knows, that's important when your senior pastor, your senior leader calls you to pray and fasting. We come in alignment because there's power in that. Yep. And so we will be fasting. I just want to say this, guys, church, it's not a spiritual exercise. It's not a religious ritual designed to impress God. It's none of that. I'm going to be talking about it. We are actually fulfilling a biblical responsibility. We are fulfilling a biblical responsibility. And as I said this last week, I've said this in many, on many forums, I believe that next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, is a red-letter day in this house, a red-letter day in the house of Pneuma across the globe, because this is, and this, these couple of days is our preparation for that. Because I really believe that as we set our bodies aside and we set time aside to seek God, we are going to see a new outpouring as of next week. It is Pentecost Sunday. It is Pentecost Sunday, so make sure you don't miss it. So look at your neighbor and say, are you ready to fast? Are you ready to pray? Because it's here. It's here. Great. Hey, this weekend I've titled my sermon, Targeted Prayer, the Means by Which God Moves. Targeted Prayer, the Means by Which God Moves. Father, relay to us the revelation that we need today to be in your will and in your purposes, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, help. Amen. Amen. Prayer and fasting is a spiritual discipline. If we want to know it or not, it is. What is a spiritual discipline? A spiritual discipline is a practice that intentionally positions us to grow in intimacy with God, ultimately helping us know Him better. That's what a spiritual discipline is. We see throughout Scripture, that whenever the church, God's people, prayed, whenever they sought Him, whenever they humbled themselves, whenever they fasted before Him, guess what? God moved powerfully. The natural was invaded by the supernatural. Strongholds were broken. Direction was given. Nations were changed. Revival came. Guess what? Chains physically fell off. Prison gates physically opened. Hearts were transformed. The supernatural invaded the natural. Now, I want to say this. If God chooses to move through the prayers of His people, then you and I, as the church, have to understand prayer is not optional. It's not optional. Prayer is the means through which we see heaven invade earth. Some people think if God wants to do it, He'll just do it. That's incorrect theology. Let's get our theology correct. That's not what the Scripture says. And Exodus 36 to 37 helps us, because it sets the foundation. This is Old Testament. He says, I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it, and I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do it, to do this for them. We see three things right there. Number one, God declares it is His will. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Number two, God promises He will act. He says, and I will do it. And number three, he still calls His people to ask. I will also let the house of Israel inquire me to do this for them. Permission granted. Let's bring that home. I will also let the house of Numa East inquire of me to do this for them. What do you want God to do for you? I will also let the house of JJ and Paulina inquire of me to do this for them. What does JJ and Paulina want? And so you can put your surname, your name, your child's name in there, and you can know that God is waiting for you to inquire of Him to do something for you. You see, Jesus reinforces this in John 14, 13 to 14. He says, whatever you ask in my name, everybody say my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see, prayer is not convincing a reluctant God. Prayer is partnering with a willing God. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. He's a willing God. Now I've got to say this. Asking in the name of Jesus is not a magic phrase. Okay? This does not mean I ask for a Ferrari in Jesus' name and boom, the Ferrari is there. Because if that was true, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be sailing on a cruise liner into the sunset with my family. Because if anybody asks me for anything, I say, I want $1 million and 5 tickets on a cruise liner to sail off into sunset. Now, I could have asked that in the name of Jesus, I wouldn't be here. You see, it's not a magic phrase. It actually means as I align myself with the will, as I align myself with the heart of God and the authority of Jesus, God moves. So prayer and fasting brings alignment. That's why prayer matters. Prayer and fasting brings alignment. That's why fasting matters. That's why these 7 days matter. It's not for JJ and Paulina to fast. It's not for the staff to fast. It's for us as a church family to fast. You see, prayer is not trying to convince a reluctant God. Prayer is partnering with a willing God, seeing on earth as it is in heaven. We'll get back to that a little bit later. The important thing is that you do not hear what JJ is not saying. I am not saying prayer manipulates God. I am not saying God is powerless unless humans pray. I am not saying that. For the record, I am not saying that. But I am presenting a biblical tension here, which is God is sovereign. In other words, He can do whatever He desires, whenever He desires. Yet Scripture reveals that God, in His sovereignty, has chosen to invite you and me, His people, to partner with Him through prayer. The will of God does not remove the responsibility of His people. You have and will remain with a responsibility. What is that responsibility? Engage in heaven's process for earth's transformation. Which brings us to the kind of prayer Jesus actually taught us to pray. Matthew 6:10. Matthew 6:10 is a prayer that He prays, but it is a targeted prayer. Jesus taught targeted kingdom prayer. That's important to know. It's targeted and it's kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a directive from Scripture. Before that, it says, this then is how you should pray. It's a directive. It's all right. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus teaches us to pray beyond ourselves. That's a good word. Jesus teaches us to pray beyond our circumstances, beyond what we see, feel, or hear. We got to pray for heaven to invade earth. And through this, He is highlighting to us that there is a reality in heaven, but there's a contradiction on the earth. And your prayer, and my prayer, as the church, Your prayer and my prayer as the church is the invitation, is the bridge for heaven's reality to invade earthly circumstances. Are you getting this? There's a reality in heaven, but there's a contradiction on the earth. It's not the same. And he says, because he's a good father, I want what's there to be here. But it depends on you and me. Through this, we see what? God's sovereignty and wisdom is still intact, but he has chosen to work through the prayers of his people, including you and I, to bring heaven to earth. You play a role. The day you said, I accept you, Lord, to be my Savior, you accepted your responsibility to bring heaven to earth. Exegetically, kingdom come. Kingdom come means let your rule, let your authority, let your dominion manifest here. Kingdom come. Will be done does not suggest it. It's not passive. Will be done is execution. Kingdom come. Let's wrap that up. Let your rule, your authority, your dominion be done. Be executed here on earth. So kingdom prayer is not weak, passive, or uncertain. God, if you can. God, please help me. God, if you want. Kingdom prayer is kingdom come in Jesus' name. It is focused. It's a focused prayer. Kingdom prayer declares from alignment, does not beg from fear. Declares from alignment. The key is being in alignment. Now, I don't know, you've most probably heard this, seen this on Facebook. It's been a bit all over the show. But for decades now, believers and missionaries or mission organizations have intentionally prayed for what is known as the 1040 window. Have anybody heard of that? A number of you. 1040 window, this includes areas in the Middle East and North Africa and Asia, places where the gospel has historically faced amazing, ridiculous resistance. One of these nations has become a place where God is moving radically, and that's Iran. There have been reports of underground churches and ministries serving in Iran, sharing where hundreds, if not thousands, of Muslims are encountering Jesus through dreams and visions. Many describing seeing a man in white, or a man that speaks peace to them, or a man who reveals himself as Jesus, or calls them, beckons them in the dream to follow him. And just of late, we've heard of where believers are standing near the mosques, and as people are entering, they ask, have you seen the man in white? You can imagine this is shocking some people, because those who have seen it go, how do you know? And so then they ask them the question, a little bit about it, what they've experienced. And these people are saying, well, we don't really understand it. And of course, that opens the door to share the gospel. Yeah? And this is what's happening there. It's a great testimony. But the point of the story that I want to make of this testimony is that Christians cannot control dreams or manufacture encounters. But believers who are united in intentional targeted prayer for regions and people groups are starting to see amazing spiritual breakthrough that in the natural would be impossible. And this shows a powerful truth. God responds to persistent, faithful prayers of his church. Prayer is not a passive religious activity. Prayer changes the world. Those encounters, church, are not just happening by chance. They are happening because there is a church that is praying, targeted, kingdom prayers, participating in bringing heaven to earth. And I want to suggest today that many believers are not lacking the hunger for God. They are actually lacking focus and intentionality in prayer. We pray occasionally instead of consistently. The church prays out of emotion when there's a crisis instead of strategically. The church prays vaguely instead of targeted prayers. And guess what? Environments remain unchanged. And we wonder why. But I need you to know today, before we step into 7 days of prayer and fasting, that prayer is powerful. Oh, duh, I know prayer is powerful. No. Prayer actually carries governmental authority. Do you realize this? Matthew 16, 18 to 19, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of what? Hell shall not prevail against it. Now, most Christians unconsciously read this verse backwards. They think because the words hell shall not prevail, that hell is on the attack and the church is on the defense trying to survive the attacks and will eventually win the battles. But I come to tell you today, Jesus never called the church to survive hell. He destined the church to invade it. Not survive it, invade it. You see, hell is terrified that the church, which includes you and me, may one day finally realize what authority she has and start moving in it. The key word in the scriptures, gates. In the ancient world, gates were places of authority. A gate of a city was where elders gathered, where judgments were made, authority was exercised. So with Jesus saying the gates of hell, he's not referring to something that is advancing. He's actually referring to the authority of darkness. He's referring to the strategies of hell, the domain of Satan. So what Jesus is saying is hell's gates will not successfully resist the advancement of my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. Let me repeat that. Hell's gates will not successfully resist the advancement of my church. And the next verse is why? It's because. I like to add it because. Because I will give you the keys. Keys represent delegated authority. I will give you the keys of the king. I will give you the delegated authority of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The keys represent delegated authority from Christ to his church to do what? To open, to close, to permit, to restrain, to advance the rule of God on the earth. Is this helping? Jesus is declaring, and I got the team to put this up. He's declaring this. I'm releasing a people empowered by my authority and entrusted with keys of my kingdom, that the power of darkness will not be able to resist their advancement. That is not survival language. That is kingdom advancement language. That, I don't know if you heard, but somebody just said, is that kingdom advancement language. We are not called to be in survival mode. And the connection is prayer. So let's get back to prayer. Governmental prayers, governmental authority, authoritative prayers are what? They are keys of the kingdom that his church uses to release heaven and advance against the gates of hell. Your prayers matter, church. Your prayers matter. Look at your neighbor and say, your prayers matter. Because when a believer prays, guess what? Darkness is shifted. Why? Because the light is released. Blindness is broken because revelation floods the heart. Captives are freed because shackles are shattered. Strongholds are confronted because the truth is released and the truth sets us free. Your prayers matter. No more complacency when it comes to prayers. No more complacency when it comes to prayer meetings. Because your prayers matter. Oh, but I don't really know what to pray. No. Your prayers matter. Doesn't matter how you pray. You don't have to have a theological degree to pray. As long as you're speaking to God and you're bringing heaven to earth, guess what? He is satisfied. He is more than satisfied. Can I go a little deeper? Some of you said yes. Some of you are a little bit nervous.
The church is not just a worshiping community. The church is a governing body who has supernatural authority given to us by Jesus Christ himself that even defies death, spiritual and physical.
That there is a good word, JJ. Folks, hear me today. More authority you cannot get.
Somebody needs to hear that. More authority you cannot get. You have God himself. God himself is with you. God himself, Holy Spirit, lives within us. God himself is with me. And before Jesus left, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go. You cannot have any more authority than what you already have.
You know, I'm going to go there. We spend a lot of time criticizing governments. Yeah? Thanks, Pastor Russ is the only truthful one here. Pastor Russ, you can get a free coffee. Oh, well, you don't drink coffee. Hot chocolate, yeah. I'll give you chocolate before it's sundown.
We spend a lot of time criticizing governments, yeah? But maybe the church, not you, the church, should take the log out of our own eye first, because it is quite obvious when we look around that the church clearly neglects the governmental authority heaven has already given to us 2,000 years ago.
You missed the opportunity to elbow your neighbor and say, are you listening?
Let me say that again. We spend a lot of time criticizing the governments, yeah? But when we realize that the church, you and I have the authority, all authority, we have the only supernatural authority is with us. And this authority is not given to us today. It was given to us 2,000 years ago.
Yet the church is complacent and idle and lethargic. And
maybe the government would rule better if we walked in our true authority. Church, it's time to rise up. It's time to not merely be attenders or merely be worshippers, but be the governing body of Christ in the earth. And with the authority, through your prayers, push back the darkness, establish his kingdom, and see his light revealed and restored here on earth.
Thank you.
Let's give God praise. It's a good point. You see, as you pray, you are exercising delegated governmental authority, bringing earthly transformation. The earth needs to be transformed. The schools need to be transformed. The unis need to be transformed. The workplaces need to be transformed. As you pray, not as I pray. But there's something about when the church prays. When the church prays, you bring earthly transformation. Your home will be different. It won't just be a place that you live. It'll be a jurisdiction. It's a jurisdiction of the kingdom. Your home is a jurisdiction of the kingdom. Your workplace is not just a place of employment. It's a sphere of influence. Your footy club, your netball club, your basketball club, it's not just a social outlet. It's a mission field where light carries culture. Your school, your university, universities, they're not just places of education. You know what? They are battlegrounds of truth, worldviews, and ideology. They are battlegrounds. Our kids are being formed in schools today where, you know what?
I'll move on.
If the church retreats from this space of education, darkness will gladly disciple the next generation. Lord, help us. Are we currently already reaping that? Folks, your everyday life is not random or ordinary. It's a strategic ground for the advancement of the kingdom.
of God. And these next 7 days of prayer and fasting leads to a significant day where the birth of the church happened, and we all know it's called Pentecost. What a day that was. Wind and fire, tongues of fire. You know that wind sounded like Boeing 747 jet engine, they say. That's significant wind. That's serious wind. Wind and fire and power and boldness. But I need to point out something. Prayer precedes power. Pentecost did not start in Acts 2. It started in Acts 1. Acts 1:14, they all continued with one accord in what? In prayer. Then suddenly. And what was the result? Thousands were saved. Demonic oppression was broken. Cities were transformed. But let me tell you why this happened. Because the gates of hell cannot hold back a praying, spirit-filled church. Take note. Sequence. Praying, spirit-filled church. They were praying, then they were spirit-filled, then there was the church. Praying, spirit-filled church. Folks, I just wonder if there was no upper room, would there have been a Pentecost outpouring? I just wonder if there were no obedient followers who remained faithful and obeyed Jesus' instruction, would the church have been birthed? Can I bring it closer to home? Will there ever be a fresh outpouring or another great awakening sweep over this globe if the current church does not have upper room moments? We all cry, we want revival, but hey, let's get into the upper room. Let's get into our upper rooms, because they all continued with one accord in prayer. Do you realize, church? If you do not pray, you forfeit your participation in what God wants to do through you on the earth. Wow. You forfeit. Because He's designed you to participate. He's designed you to partner. He's designed you to come in alignment. He wants you to come in alignment. So if you do not bring heaven to earth, if you do not spend time in prayer, you forfeit your participation. You forfeit that opportunity. He's chosen to work through you. He's chosen to work through a praying people. Think about it. If heaven is silent over your street, it may not be because God is unwilling. It may be because you're not praying. If God is silent over our state, may not be because God is unwilling. It may be because the church is not praying. You see, if someone in Iran can encounter Jesus in a dream, why not your neighbor? Why not your work colleague? Why not your university friend? Why not your school friend? Why not your business partner? Why not the secretary? Because he wants to. He wants to. The key to seeing the likelihood of this move of God, the next mighty move of God, or even people seeing Jesus in their dreams in our streets, doesn't lie with God. It lies with us. You. I'm using the word you a lot, because if I use us, I can hide in the rafters. But if I say you, it's a bit of an ouch. You and I need to pray. Your prayer matters, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's inconvenient. Prayer can be uncomfortable, and prayer can be inconvenient, and this message can be inconvenient right now. It can be a little bit uncomfortable right now. But you see, this is where many want the power of Acts 2, but not many are committed to the prayer of Acts 1. And this is where fasting comes in. Right, I've harped a lot on prayer, but this is where fasting comes on, because fasting goes hand in hand with prayer.
Fasting says, God, I lay down my comfort. I lay down my convenience. I lay down my body, my program, my phone, my TV, my whatever, because your will matters. Lord, I want you more than convenience. I want you more than appetite, than that steak, than that coffee. I want you more than the routine. I want you more than the distraction. Fasting is the intentional denial of the flesh so that our spirit awakens, so that our spirit becomes more aware of him, so that our spirit is more focused on God, that we are more sensitive to him. Church, we're not called to be spectators. If I can have the keys up here, that'll be fantastic. We're not called to be spectators. We're not called to be. We are called to be participators. We're not called to be hearers of the word. We are called to be doers of the word. We're not waiting for God to move. We are responding to how he has chosen to move. Has he chosen to move? He has chosen to move. So here's the question. Are you ready? Are you ready to stop observing and start participating? If your answer is yes, stand. That's right, stand. Are you ready to start praying from a point of authority? If your answer is yes, stand. Are you ready to stop waiting for somebody else to pray for your family and start taking spiritual responsibility in your home? If your answer is yes, stand. Are you ready to stop letting fear have the loudest voice in your life and start praying with faith and authority? If your answer is yes, stand. Are you ready to stop being passive about the condition of your marriage or your children or your future or your finances or your business and start bringing those things in God in prayer? Stand. Are you ready to stop scrolling and complaining and worrying and overthinking and start seeking God first? If your answer is yes, stand. Are you ready to pray even when you don't feel it emotionally, or when you don't see immediate results, or even when it's difficult and you don't understand God? If your answer is yes, stand. Are you ready to say, God, my comfort will no longer be more important than your presence? Stand. Are you ready to stop carrying burdens in your mind that God has invited you to bring to him in prayer? Stand. Close your eyes there where you are. If we can dim the lights, not completely dim, but I just want you to be in prayer. Not finished. Because there's still some more I need to identify. Are you ready to become a person who doesn't just talk about revival, breakthrough, and change, but you pray for it fervently? That's me. I'm standing. Are you ready to start praying from a place of identity and authority and faith as a child of God and not as an orphan? Your answer is yes. If you are ready to believe that your prayers actually matter in the kingdom of God, stand. I want you to lift your hands as a token of surrender. And I want you to lift your voices as a cry for help. Just there where you are, just cry out to him and say, Lord, help me. I don't know how, but I must. I have heard the word. The word has convicted me. Holy Spirit has convicted me. And I must. Fire of God, come down afresh upon us. Come down afresh upon these altars this morning. Father, we are standing. We are standing and we are saying, Lord, we say yes. Yes, I say, Father, raise up in this house a people who pray with authority. Tear down every spirit of passivity. Expose and uproot every spirit of complacency. Break our addiction to comfort and convenience, Lord. Awaken in us a holy hunger for the presence and the power of God again. Father, I pray that this church family will be known as a family who knows how to bring heaven to earth. I pray, Father God, that your raise up this family to be kingdom advancing prayer warriors again. Not shallow prayers, not occasional prayers, but targeted prayers, Lord. Bold prayers, Lord. Faithful prayers, Lord. Persistent at kingdom advancing prayers, Lord God. Father, I pray that you'll loose the tongues of mothers in this house to fervently intercede according to your will, Lord God. Father, I pray that for every father in this house, Father, that there will be a boldness, the boldness of the line of Judah will come upon them, that their homes will become homes of prayer, Lord God. I pray for every young person, Lord God, who that they will burn for righteousness, that they will live a pure life, Lord God, that they will be a fire on the inside of them for more of you, Lord God. Hold your hands in surrender. Father, I pray that these 7 days are not just symbolic. I pray that they will be catalytic, Lord God. I pray that chains will be broken. I pray that addictions will be dissolved. Addictions to nicotine, addictions to pornography, addictions to alcohol, addictions, Lord God, to anything that is impure. I say dissolve in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that the hearts will awaken. I pray that prodigals will return home, Lord God. I pray that healing will flow in the name of Jesus. I pray that strongholds will fall down, Lord. And Lord, I pray that revival will begin with us first. Let your fire fall upon these altars today, Lord. Let your fire fall in the name of Jesus. And we declare, kingdom come. Everybody say kingdom. Kingdom come. Say it again. Kingdom come. Again. Kingdom come. Again, louder. Kingdom come. Shout it. Kingdom come. Again. Kingdom come. In Jesus' mighty name. Ora baba yerabatu turbushesarabas. Ora baba yerabat yerababam. Herebederebed yarakatu turbushesarabasu. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fire fall. I pray, Lord, that after these 7 days of seeking you, we will never, ever, ever, ever be the same again. Even after today, Lord, we cannot stand before you one day and say, I never knew how powerful my prayer is. I never knew how much my prayer matters, because today we heard, my prayer matters. Just say that, my prayer matters more than I think. With my prayer, come on, everybody, with my prayer, I shift atmospheres. I break strongholds. I release heaven into every circumstance according to God's will. Fire of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hand on your neighbor. Transfer on their shoulder, just on their shoulder. Say, I release the fire of God upon my neighbor. Give them the boldness to step out of the boat, walk on the water, and see miracles at their hand. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's give God praise. Let's give God praise.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.